We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and a happy Saturday morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in picturesque South St. Louis.
And this is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. And this is
Wrestling with the Basics.
You know, Matt, I've realized that we have not been fulfilling our FCC duties here lately. I hope we don't get in trouble with our licensing.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, part of our license requires us to do public service. And the public service that we've been doing consistently on Wrestling with the Basics is warning people about bad jokes.
Yes.
Right? So that when you hear the joke, sorry, I've already heard that, and it'll save your neighbor and yourself a lot of embarrassment. And the thing is, though, I have an incredibly bad joke today. You've seen it. You liked it before. Would you not agree?
It is a bad joke. This will make up for the times where we've been negligent of warning people about bad jokes, because we're warning them about an extra bad one.
Does it work that way? So if we have one really, really bad joke, that makes up for the fact that we haven't been warning them about lesser bad jokes?
I would like to think so.
Okay. All righty. but because this joke is so incredibly bad, we are asking if there's any young children, if you have heart problems, if you've got a back issue. Our pregnant women should probably close their ears right now. Cover your ears with your hands.
It's just that bad.
It really is. In fact, as we've said before, please, we are professional joke handlers. Do not try this at home. Okay. All right. You got your hazmat gloves on there, Matt.
I do.
Because you're handling the punchline.
That's right. It is.
Oh, man. Are you sure? Can we even do this? I'm not even sure we should even do this, Matt.
If people are driving, pull over now, okay?
Okay, that's right.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's do it, John. It's our duty.
And this is, it actually kind of segues, because we've been talking about the devil. He's like a roaring lion. I'm trying to give somebody, trying to make it legitimate in some way. All right. So a hungry lion roamed through the jungle looking for his next meal when he came upon two men. One man was sitting under a tree reading a book. The other man was writing in a notebook. The lion quickly pounced on the man reading the book and devoured him.
Well, you know, even the king of the jungle knows that Reader's Digest and Writer's Cramp.
Quick, give us a fanfare, please.
That's pretty bad.
Well, no, and I don't think anyone... we warned them. By the way, you can take your hands off your ears now. You can take your hands off your ears now. Yeah, it's not like we didn't warn people.
That's terrible.
Obviously, people, you need to start sending us some jokes. Please. This is a cry for desperation.
For the sake of the other listeners.
That's right. You're not really helping like you used to. Where are these jokes coming into us? I'm sorry, Matt.
So where should they send the jokes, John?
Send them to, I don't know. What is it? Is it Cameo, WWB?
gmail.com? That might be why people are sending them in.
I think it's KFUOWWB@gmail.com. Try that, or try WWBKFUO@gmail.com. One way or the other, they'll get to us. Matt,
we'll just get on our personal phone numbers. You just tell us over the phone. We'll write it down.
Well, apparently people do, because I get emails. People do send me email. We had this gal that tells us about how the women's restrooms. So people are getting them.
Oh, good. Good.
There's no excuse out there, people. You can get these jokes to us if you want.
One way or another.
Yeah, Job. We're doing Job. And when we last left, Job has lost it all. He's lost his family. Now he's afflicted with all kinds of sores and wounds, and so he's bodily afflicted.
Yes.
And what happens next then, Matt?
I'm going to play this sound effect. That is what happens
now.
Next.
There's no time for foolishness.
All right, now it's official.
Is it all right if I just throw this in the trash, or should I burn it?
You might need... Let's burn it.
Okay.
We don't want someone else getting a hold of that.
Right.
Some unsuspecting radio person around here at KFUO.
I'll take it home and put it in my shredder.
Yeah, we don't want Gary Duncan to have to deal with that.
Someone might find that in the trash and be hurt themselves.
A non-trained joke handler.
No.
All right. Now, joking aside, we've got this. Right now, we're getting to the tough part here in Job.
Yes, we are.
We last time we talked about how Job was used as an example by God as someone who's upright, who fears the Lord, and Satan is allowed to mess with him. He loses his cattle, his oxen, his own children. And then if that's not enough, Satan comes and accuses Job again, and this time he even loses his own health. And Satan's accusation in all this is that the only reason that Job is fearing the Lord, following the Lord, is because God's blessing him. When times are good, he'll follow God, but when the going gets tough, he's going to reject God.
Right.
That's Satan's accusation. So God is putting Job to the test in certain respects, but he's also putting Satan to the test. Satan, is your accusation really right? Is that how it works? And we're about to find out. In Job's affliction here, his wife, not much help. Remember last week we ended with her words, curse God and die. Terrible
Thanks,
advice.
Honey.
I know. Sheesh. Now he's about to get some more advice from a friend. So three friends come and they talk to Job about his suffering and they give him some advice when it comes to suffering. So this, you know, today's episode maybe should be called What Not to Say to a Friend Who's Hurting.
Yeah.
To someone
yeah.
who's suffering. What not to say? Because their advice is pretty crummy.
So now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. They made an appointment together to come to show him sympathy and comfort him. All right, so they had good intentions.
Good intentions, yeah. Good friends.
And when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. And let me just throw this in. That probably was the best thing they could have done.
I was about to say the same thing.
Where are you going? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is the best thing they do the entire time. He's in pain, he's suffering, they don't even recognize the guy, and all they do for 7 days,
yeah.
they just sit with him. They sit with him because they saw that his suffering is very great, no one even spoke a word.
And people, seriously, this has been such a difficult study for me because this is so real. I've gone through this, I know our listeners have gone through these things, and you just wonder what is going on, and you think it's going to get better and it gets worse. But sometimes when you run into people like that, you want to say something to them. You want to say, oh, God loves you. Or I know when my wife died, my first wife died, oh, she's in heaven. And you don't realize, nah, that's probably not all that helpful. So sometimes the best thing you can do is just be with a person. Just be with them. Let them know your presence there. And be sad with them. Isn't that what the Bible says? We weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. That's sometimes... There isn't anything we can say. We just need to be there and let them know that there's somebody that loves and cares for them. Unfortunately, these men, much like you and I, Matt, think they have to do more than that.
They just kept their mouths shut.
Yeah, if they just kept here, they would have been fine. But no, they feel like they have to provide some answers to the why. You're right, because
yes.
that's what puzzles us, why, and we feel like we've got to answer that. So where do we go from here?
Yeah, so... Well, just real quick to pick up on what you're saying. I just found that too, and as a pastor, is sometimes we call it the ministry of presence, just to be present.
Oh, I love presence. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Kind of presence.
I'm sorry. No, you mean just being there, being with them. You're talking
yes,
about giving them
yes.
gifts, because that's a comforting thing too, by the way.
We
all
love
gifts.
That is comforting. So,
I'm sorry.
Presence. So, yeah, to be present with them. Just to be there, right? Like these guys were. To not necessarily give advice or answer questions that, especially questions we don't have answers to, like they're about to do, but just to be present with someone. Boy, means a great deal to people. Okay, well, let's go on. Let's see what they have to say now. Now they open their mouths. They're doing more than just being present with Job, but now they're about to give answers. All right. We'll just skip around.
Yeah,
and we'll just look at some of the bad advice.
You tell me.
So let's go. We'll go to chapter 4, verses how about 7 through 9.
Okay. Remember who that was innocent ever perished. are where were the upright cut off? As I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they are consumed.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, what's the point they're making here?
Yeah, so bad people, they suffer. That's what happens. Yeah.
So, yeah, bad times, suffering, that is a punishment for sin, right? Yeah. Has the innocent ever perished? Or were the upright ever cut off? So the problem here is they're trying to give answer to the problem of suffering, right?
Yeah.
Now, we know the backstory. We've, in this picture, in the story of Job in particular, we know the whole episode up in heaven. We know what's happened with this conversation between the Lord and between Satan. And we know that this is not the right answer.
Yeah.
In this situation, we know that, no, Job is fearing the Lord. He's not perfect, but he fears the Lord. He's an upright man. He cared about his family and loved them. And we know that it's because God is allowing this to happen just to show Satan that, you know, it's not because he's being blessed that he trusts in the Lord. So we know all this backstory. It wasn't because Job did this one terrible sin and now God's zapping him. We know the backstory, and we know that this person's wrong.
And, you know, what's interesting is he is wrong just in his description. For number one, Job has not perished. In fact, that's one of the key things. No, Satan is not allowed to destroy him. And number two, he is not cut off. No, God is still there with Job. In fact, Job has acknowledged that the Lord has been with him. So actually, his description here doesn't fit Job at all.
No.
Yeah.
No, he's just trying to figure out something to say. And we do the same thing too, right? When someone's suffering, we say stupid things sometimes. And maybe we're well-intentioned.
That is the description of this show, isn't
that's
it?
Very
they
true.
Say stupid things
25
sometimes.
Minutes of stupid stuff
not,
sometimes.
Not all 25, but a good portion.
Okay.
Yeah. There is times when we actually do what the Word of God says.
Yes.
That's hardly stupid.
That is good.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing here, though. Saying stupid stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing I think is interesting is he kind of discounts this fact that suffering could perhaps be part of God's plan.
Yeah.
You know, not just to punish people, but actually suffering could be a part of the plan, even from a loving God. That's one of the big questions that philosophers deal with, right? How can a loving God let suffering happen? Well, you know, if we look at suffering sometimes in terms of what a father's allowing to happen for his child, well, then, maybe there's a purpose of suffering sometimes, a greater purpose than what we realize. The Lord disciplines those he loves. And that's not the case here in Job, but maybe that is the case sometimes. Just like a father or mother would discipline their child. And even though that child suffers for a time and there's a kind of punishment for what they're doing, it's all with their best interest in mind.
Sure, I think the Bible says that, isn't it? There's a fruit that comes from discipline. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that his response just discounts that entire idea. And the other point, I think, too, is when we read this text, I can't help but read it through the eyes of Jesus and the New Testament. And, you know, listen to this line in terms of Jesus. He says, remember, who that was innocent ever perished, right? Yeah. Or where were the upright cut off? Well, we know someone who was innocent and did perish, don't
right.
we?
And my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he was cut off.
Yeah, Jesus was cut off. He was innocent and he perished. There's an example of suffering for the greatest good ever for the salvation of the world. And so, you know, certainly this is an Old Testament book of the Bible, but when we read in light of the New, we see just how wrong this response is in terms of Jesus.
And, you know, it's interesting. That's what Isaiah said. They said that they looked at him and they thought he was stricken and smitten and afflicted by God. And in a way he was. But you're right, not for evil, not for wickedness, but for the ultimate good for all mankind. So you got a good point. Maybe our suffering might actually be bringing about good things for us and maybe for the people around us.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, we think of different examples of suffering then in the New Testament. You know, Paul comes to mind and his thorn in his flesh and that suffering, and yet God works it for good. God,
my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah.
When I'm weak, then I am strong. And Paul realizes that, gets a glimpse of that.
Hard to believe that at the point.
Oh, no kidding.
But it is a fact. So that's, I think, the thing we need to wrestle with. Yeah, maybe you're having trouble feeling that, but it doesn't change that it's true, you know, because it's not dependent on how we feel at the moment, but it is dependent upon what the Word of God says. Yeah.
Definitely.
Here's
a couple other ones. Yep, not to say when someone's suffering. So here we're in about chapter 5, verse 27.
Okay, let me see. Behold, that we have searched out, it is true. Oh, is that what you want,
man? Yeah, go ahead.
Behold, this we have searched out, it is true. Hear and know it for your good.
Okay. Okay. All right, so imagine, you're Job, you're suffering, you've just lost everything, you're in pain, and then they give you some explanations about why you're suffering, and then they end it with, behold, this we have searched out, it is true. Hear and know for your good. What are you going to say to that?
Well, but now, Matt, now you're making me feel uncomfortable, because is that what we just said to people? That, this will be good for you. God has his good intentions. Is that what we're saying to people?
Well, I think here, behold, this is true. We've searched it out. It is true. But what we're saying to people, God willing, I'm wrestling with the basics, is what God has said, not what John and Matt have said.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's the difference between, because here it's these three friends, and one of them says, we've searched this out. We know it's true.
Yeah.
You're suffering because you did something wrong. And the point I'm trying to make here is that they're giving this expert advice to someone who's suffering. And I think that's a no-no, right? To come in and say, someone who's lost it all, someone who's in this heap of trash and scraping their sores, to say to them, I know what you're going through. Here's some great advice. You know, that's not the thing to say, right? They're giving expert advice here to Job, and it's coming from them. No, that's not what you want to do. I don't know how people are feeling when they lose a spouse. I've never lost one. Okay, to say that would be going too far, and someone who has lost a spouse would see right through that, I think. And that's essentially what they're saying. We've searched it out. Here's the truth. Here's our expert advice here. I hope that as a pastor and here on Wrestling with the Basics, that the advice we're giving isn't really our advice. This isn't coming from Matt or John, but this is coming from the Lord. And again, that example of Paul, hopefully, as informing that advice.
So it's probably not helpful for us to go and say, oh, I know what you're going through. Unless maybe you are, but probably in a lot of cases we cannot know fully. And certainly it would be foolish for us to say, oh, I know why this is happening to you, because the fact of the matter is we don't know exactly what the purpose is or the intent of God. But I hear what you're saying. When we go and say what God says, that he is a God of steadfast love, a God who works everything together for good, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, that's safe, because that isn't our opinion. That is just what God himself has said.
Yeah.
Jesus himself has said.
Exactly. I think that's, during those uncertain times, it's so important to hold on to what is certain. And what's certain is the promises of God.
Yeah.
Like you just pointed out. But to go beyond that, to start getting our own advice, to just try to start to read God's mind as to why a certain thing is happening to a certain person, like these guys are.
Or even for ourselves to try to figure that out, why it's happening to us. Yeah.
Yes, that's going too far. No, just stick to what God's word says, what's been revealed.
And the only thing I would add to that is that, again, realizing that maybe in your flesh you're having trouble believing those things. And I would say, well, of course in your flesh you would have trouble believing those things. But it is what God said. It is what's true, even in the midst of your struggles with those thoughts. Yeah. All right, more.
Sure. Chapter 9, verse 33. I think here we get a glimpse into Job's struggles. You just mentioned struggles. Even though he knows things about God to be true, and even though he hasn't cursed God, he still struggles. And Job's pretty honest about it here. This is how he feels, at least. Chapter 9, verses 33 through 35.
Okay. What was it again?
Oh, chapter 9 began with verse 33.
All right. There is no arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak without fear of him, for I am not so in myself. All right, Matt, I'm totally confused. What's he saying
okay.
there?
So this arbitrator between us.
Yeah, what is that?
And he's talking about between him and God.
Okay.
A mediator, an arbitrator, a go-between, someone who could solve this problem to reconcile him and God. All right? And that's, Job is crying out for that.
Yeah.
That's what he needs. And that's what we all need, right? Let him take this rod away from me. Let not dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak without fear of him, for I am not so in myself. He needs someone outside of himself. And the reminder that, again, we have this fuller picture of what Job had than what Job has. We know we do have a mediator. We have this arbitrator between us and God. And it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And I think that we sometimes see that, we feel that longing maybe in our own suffering. If only someone knew what I was going through. If only I had this go-between between us and God. But we do have that. We have it in Jesus. And I think in suffering, we're reminded of his greater suffering on the cross. And in suffering, we're also caused to long for heaven, too, where that suffering is taken away. So we have this mediator, this arbitrator, and even more, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ.
You know, that's why I've always loved those words from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because I hope none of our listeners have experienced that. I imagine some have, and I could almost guarantee you that all of us will at one point or the other. And I've always thought it was good to know that, yeah, you do have an arbiter in there. There is someone who actually does understand exactly how you're feeling, this loneliness, this forsakenness. And it was real for him because he actually really was forsaken. But of course, we're not because we still have him and he will always be with us and never leave us nor forsake us. Yeah.
And then the other biggie, I don't know if we want to get there today or not or save for next time, but then that confidence of a redeemer, too.
Okay, well, maybe we should say that.
Okay, that's
going to be. And I would say one more thing before we leave this, though. What I like what's going on here is, you see, when we see Job at the beginning, it's kind of like, well, Job is the good guy, and, well, whatever God does, he does. And now I think Job is beginning to wrestle with the fact that maybe he's not such a good guy. Maybe even Job has his questions and his doubts and wonders about the Lord. Because I think it's all right for us to do that. I mean, it's not a good thing, but I think it's all right for us to know that we can still have a relationship with God, even if we've got some questions, even if we find ourselves like Job saying here, well, take the rod away from me. In fact, doesn't he sound like he's kind of terrified of the Lord here? Needs somebody to take away the thing? Because now he's maybe beginning to believe what these guys have said, that maybe God is punishing me. And, you know, in reality, I suppose God could. I was not quite so holy and righteous as perfect as what I imagined.
He sees the source of his suffering as being the Lord.
Yeah.
And in some ways, the Lord is the one allowing it to happen, right?
Yeah.
So we see Job, he isn't perfect. He does struggle with it. And I think you're right. We should be okay with struggling with that, too. That's okay to struggle with things like that. Now, where do we go with our struggles? That's what's important. We come before the Lord in prayer. We go to our mediator in prayer. We search out God's word. But it's okay to struggle with those things. And Job, in the end, I think that one of the best things he does is he endures.
Yep.
He endures. He doesn't curse God. He doesn't die, like his wife says.
No.
He simply endures.
Well, all right. Very good. So next week, then we'll get to the passage that kind of underlies all of this. I know that my Redeemer lives, and we'll see what hope that comes from people who are under suffering and struggles. But right now, I guess what we would say is, you can have struggles. You can be a good Christian person and have problems. That doesn't mean that, you know, that you're evil or wicked. That's not, and that you need to maybe wrestle with those things, and that's okay. But we got to come back to the Lord and ask him what the answer is that the Lord will give. And that'll be our subject for next week on Wrestling with the Basics.
All right, sounds good. We'll hear from Job, and we'll hear from God himself. We'll see you next Saturday.